In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I strongly suspect that there are many gathered in this room this morning that don't have much of an acquaintance with the Old Testament lesson that was read earlier. If you have never met this Shunammite woman before, there's a bit more you need to know about her to understand everything that she was going through on the day of our lesson. All of that is shared earlier in the same chapter of 2 Kings, so I'd like to read that to you now. One day Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." One day he came there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." When Gehazi had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'See, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" Gehazi answered, "Well, she has no son, and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, "At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant." But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that same time the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. Then follows our lesson, which deserves to be read again if you're not familiar with it, if this is indeed the first time you've encountered it. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his father. His father told a servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or a Sabbath." "It's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. But I ask you for a son, my Lord," she said. "Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hope?" Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "Surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him the boy was not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room and then got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. When she came out, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Easter Sunday is still 2 weeks away. We would consider ourselves right now deep in the dark days of Lent. And yet, our lessons today simply overflow with the truth of the Lord of life and his power over death and his ability to give eternal life. It's not hard to see as we read verses such as this why the choice was made in Christian worship supplement to add this supplementary lesson on this particular Sunday of Lent when the gospel lesson presents to us Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead after 4 days in the grave. Lent is not all about suffering and death. Lent is also about the struggle, the titanic struggle between Jesus and our enemies. And there is no enemy that we should count more furious, more powerful, more dangerous than death itself. For in the end, death wins. Death claims every life. There's nothing new or novel about saying that on this particular day. It certainly wasn't for this woman, this Shunammite woman who also knew death all too well in the hundreds of years before Jesus stood at his friend's grave outside of Bethany. But as the events unfold in this lesson, we see a woman who looks death straight in the eye and refuses to accept its power. Her only child, a long-awaited son. She spent so many hours in prayer, pleading with her Heavenly Father for the blessed ability to have a child, but his answer was always no. Her husband was old, and while she and her husband were very wealthy people, she found no consolation in the reality of their lives without children. But the day had long passed. She had given up hope. She had accepted God's will that this was not going to be a part of her life. And yet the prophet spoke a promise from God to which she reacted almost like Sarah, Abraham's wife of even more ancient days. Hard to believe that in her old age, her husband's old age, she tells the prophet, "Don't raise my hopes. Don't promise me things that are beyond my imagining or hoping for any longer." This child was understood to be a special child of God because he was an answer to very specific prayer. He was a cherished presence in his parents' lives. They did not love him more than God himself, but they loved him more than anything else in life besides their love for each other. When you read these verses, do you wonder what prompted this woman's resolve, her boldness, her audacity, her brash certainty that God would use his prophet, Elisha, to work for her a special supernatural miracle, for her in particular. She had to have known in her life experience other mothers who had been through an experience such as this, losing a child early in life. Perhaps some of them so close to her that she shared their pain and was amongst those encouraging her in her moment of mourning. Why was she so determined to be the exception? What amazing faith she had. Does it remind you at all of Jesus' statement in the Gospels? That if someone has the faith just the size of a tiny little mustard seed, they can command a mountain to jump into the sea? Well, what is bigger faith than the bigger ask? Drowning mountains or reclaiming a human life? The Shunammite believed her God, the covenant God of the Israelites, was the creator God of all life. She knew his promise as well. She had confidence in all that he had spoken to her, especially those saving promises. But she was equally aware of her sinfulness, the undeserving nature, the sinful nature that she had. She spent time at the synagogue. She made the journeys down to Jerusalem to interact with her God according to his prescribed ceremonies and lessons and festivals and sacrifices. She knew her sin. She knew the price of her sin, the life of all those animals sacrificed for her, and she knew that she was right with her God, not because of anything she had done, but the promises of her God. She knew his free forgiveness and grace, and so on that donkey ride down to Carmel, she stormed the throne of heaven with her fervent prayers. This redeemed child of God asked her heavenly Father with complete, unwavering conviction to use his prophet Elisha to give her dead child life, to give him back to her and his father. I don't have that kind of faith. How about you? I certainly do believe in prayer, and I have trust that God answers prayer. I also can say with absolute certainty that many of his answers have been far beyond my hoping and imagining. Think about your own lives. Think about the list you could make of all the many things that God answered, in many cases better than what you had prescribed to him in prayer. He absolutely does have amazing supernatural interaction with human beings, including us. In fact, if we wanted to spend the rest of the day together just enumerating amongst us in our own life experiences the amazing, supernatural, absolutely no doubt it was God who did this in response to prayer moments of our lives and the lives of those we know, we could create quite a list, couldn't we? But I can guarantee you one thing. There would absolutely be a line we would not cross in that conversation. There wouldn't be a single one of us trying to testify that we knew for sure that someone had regained life as a result of our own prayers or the prayers of anyone else we personally know. We consider that to be God's territory, that he alone determines the length of life and the moment of death, and that's logical, and that's appropriate. It's natural. However, this mother just could not accept that. She could not bring herself to the reality of that truth in this moment. There was so much history between her and God, especially regarding this child promised by a prophet born a year later. She was not ready to give up. without emptying herself completely. In the effort of her prayers, and the Lord of life said, yes, amazingly so, yes. And as we read the details of the rest of that account, there are some things that are just mystifying to us. The whole thing with the staff laid on him and the seven sneezes and all kinds of other things. But the details of the reality is this is clearly the working of God in his mysterious ways. We could make all kinds of allegorical points about this, that, or whatever and get all lost in the details, but the reality is what God intends for us to see here. A fervent, desperate mother's prayer is answered by the Lord of life in the most profound way possible. God's interaction with human beings in regard to the issues of life and death in the scriptures are numerous. None bigger, however, certainly, than the struggle of our own Savior. Our Lord Jesus reclaiming his life after his willing, voluntary death. An undeserved death because he was not guilty of any sin. Think about how he had predicted it. How he had promised it. Numerous times to friend and foe alike, and yet the day he rose and showed himself victorious, they were stunned. They were not expecting it. They had a hard time believing it. The God of Scriptures is the Lord of life, the Lord of eternal life, in every way that it can be measured. So the Holy Spirit, as he guided the scriptures to be written, wanted you and me and every other broken, beaten human being on the path to death to know Christ and to know our Creator God as the Lord of life every moment of our own journey to the grave. He knows what kind of hope that gives us. He knows how that redefines the purpose of our lives and our presence in this world with a completely new and different meaning. There is no more focusing reality on what is most important in our lives and in our relationships with others than in those moments when death intrudes into our lives, whether it be the day of that death, the preparations for the funeral, you've experienced it. Time stops, and we take measurements, don't we? Those are the most important moments to think through. What we believe about life and death, forgiveness and sin, the realities of life after death, the obedience that God is looking for from us, and our acknowledgement of his will in our lives. And ultimately, life everlasting. If such moments have led you to realize for yourself that you do not know everything that you need to know about this Lord of life and the promises that he makes to you and the difference that it can make for not only you but the people around you, don't waste one more day digging into the truth of his scriptures and finding out what you need to know. What hope is yours? What promises are meant for you to be certain? Spend time in his word. Receive the sacrament for your forgiveness and your strengthening. But if you are as certain as this Shunammite woman was about God being the Lord of life and the one who is willing to answer your prayers, even the bold, unpredictable prayers, and who can answer as the one who gives life through his own life and death and resurrection, then praise him. Praise him with all that you are and all that you have in every way that you can possibly do it, in listening to his word and offering him your gifts and singing your praises with your fellow believers, but even equally as important, to look at the world around you and see desperate, uncertain people who do not know the Lord of life, who do not know his promises, do not have the confidence that you have in prayer, that the same God who answered her prayers will answer yours in ways beyond your imagining, and share that life with them. That you know the Lord of life, that you know him like this grieving mother knew him, with confidence and clarity, and that you know his power over death and hell, and you know his willingness. His willingness to answer prayer, even the most outrageous prayer, with a yes. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.